20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your weekend treated you well. To all the mothers out there, hope you had an amazing and fun Mother's Day. Appreciate you guys being here. I just want to say thank you. I know I get to do this every once in a while, but I still pinch myself every now and again. I get to just come on here and talk Packers 365 days a year, and there is nothing in the world that I would rather be doing. So thank you for making that a possibility, and thank you for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. It really means the world. So appreciate you guys so freaking much. Shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day podcast YouTube members, Jacob 12, William D. Lofton Sr., and David Groh. Thank you guys for signing up for that. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. We've got some news and notes I want to get to here in just a moment. And then today we're going to be going over, let's just say, a handful of Packers that need to bounce back in 2025. So we're going to be going over those in just a moment. There's a reason I really like going through these type of players, and why I really like kind of going through this episode right around this time, because we end the season and then we spend the next part of the season going over, you know, what happened and sort of a postmortem, if you will, of what happened, what went well, what went wrong. We immediately jump into which Packers free agents are not going to be back with the team, which ones will be back, and then which free agents will the Packers sign, and then which ones they actually signed, and then which Packers the Packers are going to draft, or which players the Packers are going to draft, and then which ones they actually drafted. And then we get to this point, and we've got a couple weeks from OTAs and mini camps, and I think it's just worth refreshing and just reminding. And of course, I know you guys know this anyway, but yes, the free agents, the draft picks, they have the ability to make a major impact. Go back to last year, Adrian Cooper, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, just that's a good starter pack right there, right? Like those players had a significant impact on the Packers 2024 season. And hopefully the group of free agents and draft picks will have a similar impact in 2025 and beyond. But the biggest way that this team will be successful isn't just the free agents and draft picks that they brought in. Yes, that will certainly be a piece of it. But the biggest way that this team can really make a jump and can really improve is by the players that were already on this team taking a significant step. Or in some cases, like the players we're going to be going over today, getting to a place that they were previously, or just bouncing back from a really tough, or at least a semi-disappointing or step down in 2024. So we're going to go through all of those players here in just a moment. Before we get there, just some quick news and notes. This one is not super surprising, but tight end Tyler Davis, basically their lone remaining free agent, is not going to be back with the team. And you would have assumed that if he was going to be back, he would have been back by now. But in case you were wondering, the former tight end and special teams player is not expected back in Green Bay. That was a report per Bill Huber over at Packers on SI. Meanwhile, Taylor Algersma, per Bill Huber as well, received a follow-up interview with the Packers over the weekend. This was, again, sort of a second interview, if you will. It's a really interesting process. The first thing I'll note here is that we've talked about how he was going to do the Packers rookie minicamp, and then the following weekend, which was this past weekend, he was going to do the Bills rookie minicamp. He did not do the Bills rookie minicamp because he had that second interview with Green Bay. I've never heard of this before. I've never heard of a second interview for a player. I'm very intrigued as to what sort of the process, situation, and scenario is here. My guess is that this very much will end up with a contract in Green Bay. And I would feel terrible for the guy if he missed out on Bill's rookie minicamp if this was not a real legitimate opportunity for him. But this seems like it's the obvious situation. They already opened up a roster spot. He did not attend Bill's minicamp. It would seem like this will end in a contract. The thing that throws me is this is not anywhere near what you would consider sort of like standard protocol, right? They had him in for a top 30 visit. They got to know him on the top 30. Then you would think if you spent a top 30 visit on him, right, and you still don't have a number four quarterback, you would have expected that you probably liked him enough to just sign him to an undrafted free agent deal. But they didn't, but they were able to get him in on a top 30 visit. So, or sorry, on a rookie mini camp tryout, I should say. So you get him in for the rookie minicamp tryout. And then this would seem to be like, all right, this is your true audition. He goes through that. And then he leaves town. And then he comes back for a sec. This is very odd. Usually things like this do not drag on for just like a rookie minicamp tryout player. Now, this is a slightly unique scenario because he's got some options in the CFL and apparently had another option potentially with the Bills to go work out with them. But we'll see if this ultimately ends up in a contract. I would assume it probably will on Monday or Tuesday. But as of right now, Elgersma is still not on the active roster. And we'll just have to kind of wait and see it to see if he actually gets that contract, accepts that contract, and becomes a member of the Packers and probably fights it out with Sean Clifford for a practice squad spot this upcoming season. Meanwhile, Andre Dillard, the other Packers remaining unrestricted free agent, signed with the San Francisco 49ers. So he is officially a 49er and he will not be back in Green Bay as well. And then last but not least, Elgton Jenkins. So there was some interesting sort of buzz. I believe it was Jason Wilde who brought up on his radio show just sort of the context of, hey, we saw all these players in the pictures at the, you know, voluntary, you know, workouts, and Elgton Jenkins was not a piece of those as far as anyone could tell. And what it felt like to me, it was Jason was like throwing it out there on the radio as a conversation topic of, hey, what if he's upset? What if he doesn't want to go to center? Do you think he could want a new contract or whatever the case may be? It did not feel like Jason was reporting this. It felt like, hey, we're on the radio, we're talking, let's just have a conversation. Could there be something there? Is this something? Is it nothing? It didn't feel like anything that was like, let's drum up something for the sake of drumming it up or anything. It just felt like a conversation, which then of course took on some legs of its own and so on and so forth. I can confirm, I do know that Elgton was not at team activities for that initial part, for the voluntary portion. I do know he was not there. However, Elgton Jenkins on Sunday tweeted out one little thing, just a little blue cap emoji. You know what that means? It's just cap. It's not real. It's fake. So the insinuation here is that the entire situation of Elgton potentially being upset or maybe not wanting to be, whatever, is not true. That's the insinuation. Again, if we find out something that there is something to talk about here, we will talk about it. And until there is something to talk about, it seems like there's nothing to talk about at this time. So until that changes, we'll leave it as is. And if we find out Jenkins is upset or he's holding in or holding out or whatever that might be, we'll definitely break it down. But as of now, it seems like there's probably not a whole ton there. And until that changes, I would say we're seemingly in a pretty good spot, and Elgton Jenkins is going to be the center in 2025, and that, like I said, is a very good spot to be in. So if anything changes, we'll go over it, but for now, Elgton Jenkins, hopefully no issues moving forward, and at least per the blue cap emoji, it would seem like there shouldn't be much cause for concern at the moment. All right, with that, let's get to our main topic for today. Like I said, Packers who need to bounce back in 2025. Couple things. Four players that I'm going to tell you right now are not on this list. Number one is Jordan Love. Could you make an argument for him needing to bounce back from 2024 and the overall performance that he had? Sure, can pretty easily make that argument. I'm going to give him a pretty solid pass on that, considering there was the immediate MCL injury, there was the then groin injury, and then the thumb injury. Never felt like he was fully healthy, missed a ton of practice time. Remember, he missed some practice time at the beginning of installs as well during training camp because of the contract situation. It just felt like it was, I wouldn't say like a lost season, but there was just so much going on. It didn't feel like we ever got anywhere near fully healthy Jordan Love that was consistently and constantly practicing. And it certainly felt like it affected him to some large extent. Also, even still beyond that, like he still had a pretty solid year overall. Not, I don't think, what anyone was hoping for, but I'm willing to give it a little bit more of a pass at this point and say, let's see what he looks like healthy in 2026. And then we'll be able to make in 2025 and 2026, we'll be able to make a better determination based off of this upcoming season. So he's not on that list. Jordan Morgan, also not on the list. You could make an argument that when he was actually in that, you know, you could maybe need to bounce back from that. To me, he was mostly fine when he was in there. It wasn't bad, wasn't great, wasn't good. It was fine. As a rookie, kind of making a transition to guard, I think that makes sense. It's not the worst thing in the world. Also, he was battling the injury issues even when he was actually in there in the games. So I don't think we ever saw the true Jordan Morgan either. So he is not on this list. LVN is not on this list. If this was a list of players who need to be better in 2025, LVN would be very much on this list, right? But there's nothing to bounce back from. This has kind of been who he's been over the last two seasons. And, you know, there hasn't been like a sign of like, oh, he's a lot better than this. You could make the argument again for it here, but I did not include LVN on this because I don't know what there is to bounce back from. I did think it a little bit better in 2024 from where he was in 2023. So hopefully we're just seeing some sign of progression here. But again, as far as like a bounce back, I don't think it was a terrible season, just hasn't lived up to that, you know, first round pick expectation as of yet. And then the other player that's not on this list is Jaire Alexander. Same sort of thing. This was injury related. When he was out on the field, say for the Philly game, he was pretty darn good, making an impact. And then when he was not out there, obviously it was disappointing. We also don't know, again, the full extent of what's going to end up happening with Jaire, although, again, has been trending in a direction where he's likely back in Green Bay, but we're still going to have to see how that plays out. And for now, I didn't think it made a ton of sense to include him on this list, mostly due to the injury situations. And just, I don't think we saw the real Jaire Alexander for the most part last year. And when we did, he was still pretty darn good. So those players are not on that list. That leaves 10 players that are on this list. And I'm going to be honest, I thought it was going to be pretty easy to put together a list of like 15, 16 people and then have to like narrow it to 10. The truth is I had basically 10. And just to be totally transparent here, yes, it's cooler if you have a list of 10 or like there's a nice round, even number, right? It's kind of cooler to go through. If there weren't 10, I'm not going to add a 10th to the list just for the sake of adding a 10th to the list, right? If there were 9, we would have talked about 9. Does it sound as cool as the 10 Packers who need to bounce back? No, it doesn't sound as cool, but I don't really care. I'd rather have it accurate than sounding cool. But in this case, there were a perfect 10. There are 10 players that I feel need to bounce back in 2025. Let's get into it right away here. At number 10, Daniel Whalen. Not the maybe most fun one to start off with, but let's talk about it nonetheless. Here's the thing. The numbers between 2023 and 2024 for Daniel Whalen were almost identical. Like almost exactly the same. So it's tough to say like bounce back. Like he had a, you know, fair, fine, good season in 2023 and then basically repeated it almost to a T in 2024. But here's where I would sort of fight against that a little bit. First of all, his 46.1 yard average last year was 28th in the NFL. His 22 punts inside the 20 was 21st in the NFL, and his 40.2 net punting average was tied for 26th in the NFL. So his overall numbers were below average. He was towards the bottom of the league. Where I would say he needs to bounce back here is I actually thought he was having a really nice season, and then towards the end of the year, it really sort of seemed to fall off. Now, in Green Bay, when the weather changes, that can happen, but even in the dome games against the Lions and the Vikings, he did not punt well. Here were his like gross averages at the end of last season. Miami, he had 43 yards a punt. The Lions in Detroit in a dome, 41.7 yards per punt. The Seahawks was 42.5. The Saints was good, 46.5. Then the Vikings was 42.3 and the Bears was 44.3. All right, so a lot of below average. Now remember, 46.1 yards was his average punt on the season and that was good for 28th. And the Dolphins game, the Lions game, the Seahawks game, the Vikings game, and the Bears game were all well underneath that. So it was a really poor performance to end the season for Whalen. And also per PFF, in 2023, he had a 63.7 grade. In 2024, had a 56.7 grade. So it took a 7-point decrease from 2023 to 2024. I think there's still a very good punter there. I really liked what I've seen out of Whalen. He, you know, in a pinch, can also do some kickoffs for you. I think he's going to continue to get better. But the end of last year was not what you wanted it to be, not what you expected out of him. And because of that, I think he does need to bounce back, show a little bit more in 2025. And here's the thing with Whalen, if he goes out and has a really good year, he probably gets a pretty big time extension. If he doesn't, he probably has competition in 2026. Or they might just go in another direction if it's a poor season. So I think this is a really big year for Whalen, and hopefully he can kind of bounce back from what was a tough end of 2024. All right, number 9, this is a little bit tricky because you could point out, and you wouldn't be totally wrong in saying that I'm kind of talking out of both ends of my mouth here. And what I mean by that is if Jaire and if Morgan and if Jordan Love are not going to be on this list due to injuries, then should Luke Musgrave be on this list due to injuries. And it's a fair point. I'm going to say that right out front. Here's to me where it's a little bit different. For Luke in 2024, yes, he was beat up, hurt, and never felt like quite himself, right? But once he got back from that injury, and I'm sure there was a little bit of rust to work off and things like that, he just really didn't add anything to the team at all. And to the point where at the end of the year, you look at his stats, 7 catches, 45 yards, 6.4 yard average. I mean, if he played 2 games, okay? Like if he played 2 games last year, I would have said, I would have liked to have seen him have better than 7 for 45 with a 6.4 yard average. It's just a really abysmal number. And when he got back, he just could not find any sort of rhythm within the offense. They couldn't find a consistent way to use him. He was not really a red zone threat. He was not a seam threat. There just seemed to be a sort of a loss for figuring out how to get him integrated in the offense in any real way. Add on top of that, and for PFF in 2023, they had a 68.1 grade on him in 2023. And that this is not like a total grade, right? This is averaged out. Like this is, you know, almost like think of it as like a per snap grade. 68.1 for PFF in 2023, 47.1 in 2024. A 21-point dip per PFF. Now, for me, I had a plus 1.45 grade on him in 2023. I had a plus 0.65 in 2024. Wasn't anything egregious, but at minimum, he did not take a step forward. He did not get better, and it really just felt like he had no real significant role on the team once he came back from injury, and that was my bigger concern. And they spent a second-round pick on him, a really good second-round pick on him, and they are expecting him to be a legitimate playmaker in this offense. And when he was on the field last year, albeit in limited amount of games, he just wasn't anything remotely close to that. And even just going from a 10.4 yards per catch in 23 to a 6.4 in 2024 kind of tells you all you need to know. Now, am I hopeful that a lot of that was injury related and he just missed the practice time and just couldn't get reintegrated in the offense? Yes, I'm hopeful. I'm hoping for a big breakout this year for Luke Musgrave. I still think there's a ton of talent there, but he needs to bounce back. Whether it's just from the injuries, whether it's from the performance, whatever it might be, he needs to take a major step in 2025. And I do feel like he needs to bounce back from that performance in 2024. Number 8's another interesting one to discuss. Rashid Walker. We'll start with some simple stuff. All right, from a PFF standpoint, in 2023, he had a 66.3 grade. In 2024, had a 68.7 grade. So he actually got 2.4 points better for PFF. Now, for my grades, he also got better, which is an interesting juxtaposition, like just an interesting like sort of thought process here. In 2023, had a negative 2.3 grade. In 2024, had a negative 1.6 grade. So his grade got better per PFF. His grade got better per me. All right. So what is he bouncing back from? Here's the big thing for me. In the last 10 weeks of 2023, so remember he started in that competition with Yash Nyman. He and Yash went back and forth. Rashid eventually won it. And in those last 10 weeks of 2023, he had a plus 2.05 grade for me. A plus 2.05. I thought he had a really good camp. Matt specifically talked about how he responded in a huge way to the drafting of Jordan Morgan and went out of his way and really earned that left tackle job. Like I said, I thought he looked great in camp. And then you basically have it where Jordan Morgan, they're thinking like, yep, he's going to rotate into left tackle. He's going to be a play there. Walker played so well in camp and early on that it was like, yeah, we're just going to move Jordan Morgan, our first round pick, to right guard because there's no competition to be had at left tackle with Walker. He just won it. Yet for me then in 2024, a negative 1.60 grade. So those last 10 weeks when he won that battle, plus 2.05, had a great camp, and then had a negative grade through the course of the season. That to me is where it was a little bit disappointing. And for even when he, you know, Rashid has been playing well, there is maybe not a player on the roster that I feel like Green Bay and the coaching staff and like everyone has just talked about in a just really interesting way of like, yeah, he's got to be better. Like it's just like almost constantly of like, anytime Rashid was brought up after that point, it was like, you know, yeah, there needs to be a better attention, whatever it might be. Like it just, it felt constantly like they were not completely satisfied with the way that he was playing. And then they go, of course, they drafted Jordan Morgan in the first round a year ago. Now they draft, of course, Anthony Belton this year, another player who could potentially play left tackle. And we know that Walker is due for that potential contract extension and could easily be a free agent that leaves next year. There's all this competition now. I do believe that Rashid Walker is going to have to bounce back. And if he wants to earn that starting job outright again, he's going to have to really earn it in this offseason. And even if he does, they still might rotate somebody with him. And I do feel like it was a little bit of a disappointment after a really strong end to 2023 and a great camp of just, you know, I would say below average play in 2024. And PFF would, you know, disagree with that a little bit. They had a 68.7 grade, so that's above average. 60 is average, so that's above average. I, again, had a little bit of a lower grade. But either way, I think there's a better player out there than what he showed this past season. I would like to see him to take that step. And I'd like to see him make it complicated for Green Bay of like, hey, you should be keeping me. I'm a really talented left tackle. You probably don't want to get rid of that. I would love for Walker to go ball out. And I think he's everything at his disposal to go and make that happen. Let's see if he can do it. And I do think there's a little bit of a bounce back there for Rashid Walker. Number seven on my list is Carl Brooks. Here's another interesting conversation. In 2023, he had 30 pressures and four sacks. In 2024, he had 28 pressures and four sacks. He went down a total of two pressures. He was basically, in a way, you know, from at least a pass rush standpoint, almost identical in results. However, PFF 2023, 69.8 grade. In 2024, 61.8, a full 8 points lower than he was the year before. For me, it wasn't too much different. I had a plus 1.0 grade in 2023, a plus 0.75 grade in 2024. But here's how I would define it for Carl Brooks. His run defense was worse. He not only did not take a step as a run defender, he actually got worse at it. And that made him pretty much unplayable on any sort of rundowns and then only available on passing downs. But he didn't take, at minimum, he did not take a step as a pass rush either. He was kind of just the same guy. So you had a player that you were hoping was going to take another step as a pass rusher. He didn't. And then you were hoping would at least be okay as a run defender. He wasn't. So I do think there is the possibility for Carl Brooks to play better football. And I even think that he was better in 2023 than he was in 2024. Maybe not by a ton, but as a rookie came in, I thought played pretty well. And then sort of the bar was set. And then in 2024, you're hoping he's going to come in year two and take a step forward. And it just didn't happen. In fact, it felt like a little bit of a step back. So that's where I want to see him take that next step, improve, and actually bounce back from what was a, I would say, fairly nondescript 2024 for Carl Brooks, and certainly not what I think a lot of people were expecting out of him in year two. Next up, number six, is Kingsley Enagbare. It's another fun conversation here. In 2023, he had 27 pressures and two sacks. In 2024, one less pressure, had 26 pressures, but had five sacks out of it. But there was more to the story. In 2023, PFF gave him a grade of 62.5, and then last year, a grade of 56.8. Did not grade him as well. For me, at a negative 0.6 in 2023, a negative 1.85 in 2024, and ended up being one of my lower graded players on the team this past year. And I've talked about it a bunch lately. I thought he was one of the more disappointing players in 2024, but it is worth noting he had that entire ACL situation that I think really complicated things. And then I don't know if that hurt his sort of off season and how he was preparing. And then I don't know how much it was affecting him through the course of the year. Remember, people thought he tore his ACL. That was like the report. And then it felt like he was going to miss a big chunk of 2024. And then all of a sudden, they're like, actually, he didn't tear his ACL. And everyone's like, wait, what? And then he played. And he was like at mini camps and OTAs ready to go right away. So it was really stunning. And I don't know how much that affected him through the course of the year, but it definitely felt like he wasn't quite the same. Despite the fact that the pressures were almost identical and he had a few more sacks, the overall game for Enagbare just never really took off this past year. And it always felt like he was a little bit of a net negative out on the field. I still think there's a very good player there, and I'm very hopeful that it was just, you know, a little bit more injury related, but we have no proof of that. And it didn't feel like it was something that was really consistent at any point in time for Enagbare last year. On top of that, you have Brenton Cox coming back, LVN coming back. You've got Rashawn Gary coming back. And then you now have Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver also right there for you to compete for these spots. If there's any sort of setback for Enagbare, or he doesn't take that step forward, or just, again, doesn't look good in camp, as I've mentioned lately, I do think he is a potential cut casualty or camp cut casualty because his money did go up. to that over 3 million because of the playing time incentives. And I could see a world where they're like, hey, we just haven't seen the progress, especially this past year. So I think it's a really big offseason for Enagbare, and I do think he needs to bounce back from what was a pretty disappointing 2024 campaign. Number five is Jaden Reed. Another really interesting one. Keep saying this, but I think a lot of these are. In 2023, as a rookie, had 64 catches, 793 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Really good performance. In 2024, he only had 55 catches, 9 fewer, but 857 yards, 64 more yards than he had in 2023. Had 6 touchdowns instead of 8, a little bit less, but nothing egregious, right? Then in 2023, per PFF, had a 73.3 grade, a 71.7 this past year. So just a little bit down, 1.6. And then per me, on the season, actually, I had a plus 5.45 grade on him in 2023. I had a plus 8.75 on him in 2024. But there's more to the story. In 2023, he had 3 drops as a rookie. In 2024, per PFF, he had 10 drops. The drops went up significantly. Here's the bigger thing to me. In his final 9 games of the season last year, including the postseason, final 9 games, he had 23 catches for 283 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is an average of 2.5 catches for 31 yards per game over his final 9 games, and a touchdown every 3 games, basically. Here were his stat lines from the final stretch of the season. 2 catches, 23 yards and a touchdown. 3 catches, 26 yards. 3 catches, 24 yards and 2 touchdowns. 0 catches, 0 yards. 5 catches, 34 yards. 3 catches, 76 yards. 1 catch, 6 yards. 2 catches, 48 yards. 4 catches, 46 yards. He had 1 game over 50 yards, the 3 catch, 76 yard performance. In his last 6 games, he did not have a touchdown catch in any of those games. He had 2 performances under 10 yards. Like, it was like he hit a wall. It was really unfathomable to what happened to Jaden Reed this past year. I thought at the beginning of the year, he looked fantastic. In fact, the majority of his work was done really in the first 7-8 weeks of the season, and then just wasn't able to carry it over into the second half. So you had this rookie who was really good. Then the first part of his second year, he's like, oh my goodness, he's taking a step. And then just boom, hit a wall. Don't know if it was injury related, not exactly sure what it was, but he really struggled in the second half of last season. And that's where he needs to bounce back. The drops need to get in check, and he needs to be an impact player week in and week out because he's capable of doing it. We've seen it. I want to see that be a little bit different in 2025. And it's not so much like the player himself or like the stats on the season are pretty identical, but we certainly didn't take a step, or we didn't see him take a step. And I wholeheartedly believe that there is a better level to Jaden Reed than what we saw this past year. And I would love to see him bounce back and be that player that I think we all expect that he can be in 2025 and beyond. Number four, another wide receiver, Romeo Doubs. 2023, he had 59 catches, 674 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Then in 2024, had 46 catches, 601 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So 13 fewer receptions, 4 fewer touchdowns, 73 fewer yards. In 2023, per PFF, had a 73.6 grade. This last year, 69.7, almost down 4 full points. In 2023, for me, had a plus 6.55 grade. In 2024, plus 3.55. Went down 3 full points. It's a pretty significant decrease. He also was, of course, suspended for a game for conduct detrimental to the team, where they literally had to suspend him because he was unhappy and did not show it in the right way. There's a pretty significant difference for Romeo Doubs in his overall performance from 2023 to 2024, in a year where, again, you were really hoping he was going to take that step and really be one of the leaders in the wide receiver room. And instead of being a leader, he was literally detrimental to it at one point. So much so that they suspended him for a game. Now, per Matt LaFleur, per Peter Schrager, per Matt LaFleur, they said they're very happy with Romeo. They're very happy with him in the receiver room, that he kind of bounced back from that issue at the end of last year. So that's a great sign. Hopefully it's a non-issue moving forward. But no question about it, it was not the 2024 that I think anyone was hoping for or expecting out of Romeo. He's going to get, as of now, unless something changes, unless there's a trade or something, he's going to get another real shot to be one of the top guys in this offense. And I think he has every right to bounce back and be a Big Ten player, especially in a contract year. So it'll definitely be worth keeping an eye on for Romeo. Number three, Rashawn Gary. In 2023, coming off of that torn ACL, had 66 pressures and 10 sacks. In 2024, 49 pressures and 9 sacks. Again, these are per PFF. Only one fewer sack, which is fine. It's not a big deal, but 17 fewer pressures. That's a big deal. PFF went from a 79.0 grade in 2023 to a 73.0 grade in 2024, down 6 full points. I had a plus 3.10 grade on him in 2023. I had a plus 2.10 grade on him in 2024. I'm going to actually pause on Rashawn Gary for just a moment because we're going to come back to him on another part of this discussion on number one in just a moment. So just remember those numbers for Gary, and I'm going to kind of put it together here in just a moment for you. But before we get to that, number two on the list is Dontayvion Wicks. Here's the crazy thing for Wicks. In 2023, Wicks had 39 catches and 4 touchdowns. In 2024, he had 39 catches and 5 touchdowns. But here's the really crazy part. The efficiency difference was unbelievable. In 2023, Wicks had 39 catches for 581 yards. In 2024, he had 39 catches for only 415 yards, a difference of 170 yards almost in the same amount of catches, but lost 170 yards doing so. Was nowhere near as dynamic, explosive, or was able to convert some of those big plays to get some of that yardage to be a little bit more efficient, just more explosive for him. That's not even it. In 2023, he was able to get 39 catches and 581 yards on 58 targets. In 2024, he got the same 39 catches, but 170 fewer yards on 76 targets. He got targeted 18 more times. So he had 18 more targets, had the same amount of catches, 170 fewer yards, had one more touchdown. So the efficiency just plummeted. His PFF grade went from a 77.8 to a 65.1, a 12.7 point difference. He went from a plus 6.75 grade for me in 2023 to a plus 1.80 grade in 2024. Now, there were some signs towards the end of the year that he was starting to put it back together, catch the ball a little bit cleaner, and be a little bit more dynamic, but it certainly was not consistent enough. And it was a very disappointing 2024 campaign, and he, of all of the receivers, and Reed is one, Dobbs is one, but if there's anyone that really needs a pretty significant bounce back, it would absolutely be Dontayvion Wicks. And that brings us to number one, and then again, we're going to circle back here with Rashawn Gary as well. Kenny Clark, in 2023, he's of course number one on my list. In 2023, 66 pressures and 10 sacks. 66 and 10. In 2024, 34 pressures and 1 sack. He went down 32 pressures and 9 sacks. His grade from 2023 was a 70.4. In 2024 was a 60.0, down 10.4 points. Here are my grades for Kenny Clark. When he started in the league is the very first year that I did my grades. And to be fair, about the first 3 years of this, those years were a little bit higher in totals. Then there was a little bit more like room for higher grades and lower grades on those years, but it'll still get the point across very clear here. First year, it was a plus 10.95, then a plus 13.1, then a plus 11.7, plus 9.8, plus 11.7, plus 4.25, plus 4.65, negative 0.1. He's never come close to anything in the negative. And it's a neutral grade, right? It's basically 0.00, which is exactly what PFF had him at. That had him a 60.0, which is exactly their neutral grade. And I had him a negative 0.1, where 0.00 is exactly my neutral grade. So we had almost identical overall grades on him, basically being a neutral level player. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to help you. It's neutral level. That's not what you can get out of Kenny Clark. And losing 32 pressures and 9 sacks year over year from 2023 to 2024 is a massive problem. Here's the crazy thing. Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark, let's take those two combined. In 2023, they had 132 pressures and 20 sacks combined per PFF. In 2024, 83 pressures and 10 sacks, a difference of almost 50 total pressures and 10 total sacks just from those two year over year. Would I love if Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary went out and, ended up in first team all pro status this year? Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be really good stuff. I'm not expecting that, first of all. Number two, Green Bay doesn't need necessarily that. They don't need to be first team all pros or anything like that. If all of a sudden they just play like they did in 2023, 2 years ago, I'm not talking even prime Kenny Clark. I'm not even talking pre-ACL Rashawn Gary. I'm just talking about what they did in 2023, less than 2 years ago at this point. And instead of 83 pressures and 10 sacks, you get 132 pressures and 20 sacks. It is a game changer. Both of them took a dip. In Kenny's case, a pretty significant dip in 2024. I just want to see them get back to where they were prior to that dip. And of course, they switched defenses. And you know, the thing with Kenny is, you might say, well, yeah, but his run defense per PFF went from a 61.4 in 2023 to a 58.4 in 2024. I will say I thought Rashawn Gary's run defense was much better. But for both of them combined, the overall pressure percentage, the overall wins, the sacks, everything went down significantly. If those two can just get back to where they were, and I know, again, they changed over defenses this past year, but in year two of Jeff Hafley, maybe understanding a little bit better, knowing the expectations, knowing what they need to do, if they can do that, this defense will take a huge step. And hopefully their new defensive line coach, DeMarcus Covington, will be able to get the most out of them, because that is one of the biggest areas where this team could take a significant jump, is if just Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark played at the same level they did in 2023. And those weren't even epic years for either player, but they were much better than what we saw in 2024. So those are my 10. The 10 players that need to bounce back to really get this team where it needs to be. Daniel Whalen, number 10. Luke Musgrave, number 9. Rashid Walker, number 8. Carl Brooks, number 7. Kingsley Enagbare, number 6. Jaden Reed, number 5. Romeo Doubs, number 4. Rashawn Gary, number 3. Dontavian Wicks, number 2. And Kenny Clark, number 1. Appreciate you guys joining me. I'll be right back here tomorrow. Should be with Justice Mosqueda, so keep an eye out for that. If you have questions that you'd like to see me go over with Justice, hit me up in the chat today and be happy to see if we can get some of those questions over to him. But for now, that's going to do it. Again, thank you so much for all your time. Thanks for all the support. Like I said, hopefully be back with Justice tomorrow. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Whaley Winkle, Single, Jen Wright, Ian Hewell, and Matt Geiger. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.